so excited about tonight. Excited to finally get to teach you guys. I don't think I've been up here since the first night. How's everybody doing tonight? Is that a sincere good? Yeah? Well, for those of you guys who have been fasting, just know that God's going to honor that. Those of you guys who haven't started, I challenge you to do so. You know, this morning, Pastor Jeremy, I don't know if everybody was in service or which service you went to. I was in second service, and Pastor did just, it was an incredibly powerful day today on campus overall. Anyone else sense that today? Just a very, really powerful presence of the Lord. And he was describing hell this morning for just a moment. The sermon was not about that. It was actually about the cross. And he said that really the worst part of hell is the eternal separation from the presence of God. But I want to flip that right now, and that heaven is the opposite. Heaven, the best thing about heaven is that you're constantly in the immediate presence of God. So picture that moment. Everyone picture the moment you have felt God the strongest. Just picture that moment. So like heaven is that times like a million gazillion, that's not a real number, constantly forever. That's really important for us to understand is that we weren't made for hell, we were made for heaven. We were made to be in the presence of God. Does everyone understand that tonight? You're made to be in the presence of God, which is why when we walk away from the Lord, things don't work as well, because we were made to be close to him. I have a few scriptures I want to read as we get into the teaching tonight. We are teaching on strongholds, so fasten your seatbelts. But there's some really good things that I want to share with you guys tonight. And one of the scriptures I have is, well, I said I saved it. Sorry, I got a new phone, and I have to figure out where my albums are. Here we go. Okay. So the first one I want to share with you guys, jot this down in your notes, Galatians 5:1. This is super important. This is foundational for everything we're going to teach in this section. And it's Galatians 5:1, and it says, Paul's talking to a bunch of Christians in the church of Galatia, and he said, guys, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It is for freedom Jesus came. It is for your freedom that he died on the cross. It is not just so he gets to be with you in eternity. Everyone listen, this is important. That is not the only reason Jesus died on the cross. Jesus dies on the cross for your freedom today. And everyone in this room and at the sound of my voice listening online needs to understand that truth, or you're going to miss it tonight. If you don't believe there's freedom to be had here and now, why listen to tonight's teaching? You must understand and believe that it is for freedom that Jesus came to set us free. And when Jesus says it is for freedom, freedom means free. I don't want to go after a store that's having a sale on something that's like 75% free. I'm the girl that wants free means free. No strings attached. Listen, I want this to soak in. Jesus died for your freedom now. There's no reason that we have to walk around with chains as children of God. And I need you to grab hold of that tonight as I teach on strongholds. Because what the enemy would love to do is bog you down with the realities of where some of us are right now. And when we feel bogged down, hope begins to dissipate. And I want to renew your hope by laying a foundation of faith that you are going to be set free through this process. Some of you are already beginning to experience freedom. Amen? Through encounter. Listen to John 8:36. John 8:36. Catch this. So if, everyone say if. If's a powerful word in the Bible. Why is if so important? It's conditional, isn't it? John said, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Now, that doesn't mean the enemy doesn't come back and try to make you doubt your freedom. That doesn't mean the enemy doesn't try to come and poke in areas of your life where he used to have territory and free reign. But it means that when Jesus sets you're free indeed. There's no going back unless you want to. Because he's paid for your freedom. It is a finished work. John 10:10, Jesus said, I can have come so that you may have life in abundance. Life in all of its fullness. And you want to know one of those things that wreck me as a pastor? I'll tell you what wrecks me. Oh, dear Lord, help me. When I see Christians not living the abundant life Jesus tried to give them. He didn't do it just for me to walk in freedom. Jesus Christ died and paid the price for everyone, all of his sons and daughters, to walk in freedom. So I just want to make sure that you guys understand that as we go into this challenging section, I'll give it to you, that you make sure right now you are grabbing hold of the truth that I'm giving you, the Lord has given you, and that you know he's good, and he has a freedom process ready for you to walk through. And some of you already are. If you're with me, say amen. The rest of you, just try your best to stay engaged. We have to make sure we clarify a few things before we get started tonight. I want to go over quickly what our goal is not. Because we have several extremes here. And Lord knows if you've been in the church for very long, you guys could probably fill some of this in for me. But Christians can get kind of extreme, amen? Kind of extreme. We have two extremes, and if I were to draw them out on a scale of sorts, this is my scale. How's that for you? All right. Extreme number one. Anyone want to guess what one extreme is when it comes to strongholds? What is it? Okay. How about no such thing? That's one extreme. One extreme is demons aren't real. If I'm saved by the blood of Jesus, which I know all of us in here are, then there cannot ever be anything demonic happening in or around my life. That's one extreme. We have another extreme over here, and it's extreme number two. Are you ready for this one? Yes, here we go. Number two, there's a demon. Where? Say it with me. Yes. A demon under, around, on top of, in between bushes, under every bush. Okay, so our goal, every bush. All right. What we want to do in encounter, everyone listen, we want to go somewhere in between here. My goal is to get us right here. That there is such thing, but there's not a demon behind every bush. But if I'm going to teach, and if we are going to preach the entire Word of God here at Timber Creek, we can't ignore this. We do have to tackle scriptures on this. Are you with me tonight? So some of you are coming in here tonight having lived with this extreme. This is how you were taught. And others of you, this is how you were taught. So because of that, some of you are already kind of freaked out because you heard the word strongholds tonight. Maybe you flipped ahead in your manual. And you saw this one and thought, I wonder if I can find an excuse not to come that night. But our hope tonight is that we do several things. Let me make sure that you understand. Our goal tonight is not an extreme. Our goal tonight is not to exalt strongholds or give them credit. It is not to exalt them and lift them up and worship and almost like empower the demonic. That is not our goal. Another thing that is not our goal, it is not our goal to look at every single detail of our lives under a night microscope and go on a demon hunt tonight. If that's what you're into, you're probably at the wrong church. I remember the first semester of Encounter. We had a couple that they literally, remember that, Sonia and Bubba? We had a couple, they really wanted to go on demon hunts. And I said, if that's what you're into, this is probably not for you, and guess what? They're gone. Because that's just not what we're going to do here in Encounter. So we are going to do something. Here's what our goal is. Our goal is to expose strongholds to the light. To expose strongholds to the light of the truth and to learn how they become rooted in us and how they can steal the life of God in us. Did you hear me? See, this is the danger of strongholds, is they have the ability to rob from you the fullness of the life of God he died to give you. So it's available, but strongholds can prevent you from fully experiencing and consistently walking in that freedom. Our goal is not to learn how to effectively, or I'm sorry, our goal is, excuse me, our goal is to learn, and I love this one. We're going to learn how. Everyone say how. I love a good how-to teaching. In fact, don't inspire me or convict me if you don't give me some how-tos. Like, tell me what to do now, right? We're going to learn how to effectively bring strongholds to death. And we're going to learn how to enter into new resurrection life in Christ, the best part. So that's what our goal is not, and those are what our goals are. Now let's shift from our goals to our focus. This is going to be our focus tonight. Our focus on this section is not our pain. So I hope some of you feel better already. So tonight we're not going to sit around the table and everyone talk about the things that have horribly happened in your life. And some of you just lost some anxiety. The focus on this section is not our pain, but on God's ability to heal it. Yes. Our focus is not going to be on those who caused our pain, but on true and complete forgiveness. Our focus in this section will not be on fault and blame, but on the cause and its effect. Did you hear me? That's important. So we're not going to go around playing this name blame game. But listen, hey, listen. It is important to understand what's happened and the cause and effect. Okay? That is important. Is that the fun part? Oh, guys, don't get quiet on me already. It's only been 15 minutes in. Is that the fun part? No, it's not the fun part. But listen, God is going to do something. I'm telling you right now, God is going to do some of the most incredible things in your life in the next few weeks already. Because our focus is going to be this. Our focus is going to be on Christ's finished work on the cross. I can't think of a better accidental setup from Pastor Jeremy's sermon this morning into tonight. Isn't God he's so amazingly strategic? The chances that we would all come out of Sunday morning hearing the truths that we heard of the blood Jesus shed for us into tonight on the importance. Listen, it's important that everyone understands that Jesus' work on the cross is a finished work. That we don't have to do anything to add. His blood is sufficient. His power is finished. The work is done on the cross. But he's not done in you yet. And so tonight, can I just forewarn you and encourage you that even right now, the Holy Spirit is starting to do a work in your hearts. And the key to how much you really transform tonight, listen, is your surrender. Your surrender. Listen, I just know the Lord is speaking this right now. I don't know who this is for. I think it's for everyone. Your surrender gives him access into your heart where the dark, hurt, scary things hide. And it's that surrender that gives him access. And for some of you, surrender might look like, listen, just unlocking the door for the very first time so that if he wants to open it, he'll let him get it open. And surrender for some of you guys is beyond that. Some of you, you've already unlocked the door of your heart to the Lord, but you've only got it cracked. and you're literally standing. Have you ever done that? Have you answered the door and you're not really sure who it is, and like you've got a death grip on the other side that you don't really want the salesman to know, but you're looking and you're just kind of peering into, is this really okay? Some of you, that's where you're there. I'm asking you tonight to take another step of surrender. I'm asking you to, whatever that looks like with the door of your own heart, to open it a little bit more, to open it a little bit more, to trust Jesus a little bit more, give him a little bit more access, because the more access you give him, the more he's going to come in, and Jesus is going to do what only Jesus can do. And you say, well, you seem hyped up. It's because I've been set free. And when you've been set free, it says in God's word, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I'm redeemed. I've been set free from depression and anxiety and panic attacks. I've had a horrible, tragic life that Jesus has healed my wounds. He's bound up my broken heart. He's taken all of the yuck and the muck and the anger and the hatred out of my heart. And I live and I walk in freedom. And I'm not going to sit and keep that to myself. And he loves you just as much as he loves me. So guess what that means for you tonight, Encounter? When you surrender and give him access, he's going to come in and do it for you too. But you got to choose to surrender. Can we pray tonight? Father, we just all come to you from different places and different households and different backgrounds, Jesus. We all come from different extremes. We come from different places of hurt. We even come from different places and stages of healing. But I can't think of anything greater to ask you for tonight, God, other than that as we surrender and give you access, would you come in? Just pray that in your own way, Encounter. Just ask him in your own way right there in your seat. Give him access right now. Father, we give you access. Some of you right now need to give him the keys. And that's a big step for you. Others of you need to let him push that door open a little bit more. And some of you need to open that thing wide. It's time to open it up wide without touching it and holding it back, ready to shut it just in case. Yes, Holy Spirit, would you search our hearts tonight? Oh God, may we come to know the truth in such a way that we are changed forever in the powerful name of Jesus. And everyone together said, amen, amen. Our final part of the focus is going to be on the power, healing, and restoration and freedom that is now ours, should we choose to accept it. Let's look at our key scripture here tonight. Now, this is important, and in fact, I would challenge you to memorize this if you can, or read it every day through this section. I'm serious right now. Like, it would be good for you guys to keep this one in front of you each week. It's 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5. Paul is writing, this is important to understand too, because Paul is writing to a group of newer Christians. It was kind of like a melting pot, really, of faith, the Corinthians were. You may have had some people who were Jews. You had some Samaritans. It was like New York City. Even where it was located, the city of Corinth was in a very metropolitan area. And so there are lots of different religions and backgrounds, even some Jewish God-fearing people he's speaking to. And what he's telling them is how to demolish and pull down strongholds. So I first want to make sure you see tonight that strongholds are taught on in the Bible. This is not a Christianese term we've come up with. It's written in God's word. That's important. Because if you can't find it in God's word, you better be careful before you lay your life down on it and stake claim to it. Let's look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5. Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare, Christians, are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty. But they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against what? What's it setting itself up? What is the enemy setting up against? The true knowledge of God. Did you see that? So the enemy is coming at the city, the Christians in Corinth, just like he comes at the Christians at Timber Creek. And he comes up and he will challenge the knowledge and truth of God that you've heard. And Paul's trying to equip them to be careful in this process of pulling down strongholds. He said these things will try to set themselves up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So, look at it now in another translation. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, listen, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers. Look at this, guys. What are the barriers erected against? The truth of God. Are you following this? Fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. He said, our tools, they are ready at hand. I love this. For clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Wow. What does this section mean? What is this passage really about? It's about teaching you, the believer, how to combat and tear down strongholds in your life and to do it effectively. It teaches us to tear them down. Why? Why? So that you can live what? Lives of obedience and grow into maturity. And some of you may be wondering why you're still struggling with that. I mean, even 3 weeks ago when we taught on alignment, remember that one? Like you did your homework assignment, and I'm so sorry, my throat is so dry. Can I get a glass of water? I've never had to ask for that, but my throat's really dry. Must be the pollen. Now I just lost my train of thought. Stacy, can you remember what I was saying? Thank you. So you were in alignment, and you did your homework, and you felt all good because you submitted your body to the soul to the spirit to? Uh-oh. Do we need to go back and... Who was our spirit submitted to? The Holy Spirit. And like we're walking in alignment, feeling all fruitful and happy and joy, having joy and love and peace and patience, even with our kids and kindness. And like, you know, we're not getting mad at the people in the gas station for hogging all of the little things and not getting out of the way when they see you waiting. I mean, like fruit of the Spirit is like oozing out of you for about 3 days. And maybe some of you longer than that. But have you noticed how, like, easily maybe some of you it was to get out of alignment? See, strongholds are like handlebars on the side of our body that we have given access to the enemy, not to possess us, but to be able to influence us, to pull on us, to yank on us, to push us out of alignment. And the more strongholds we have, the easier it is to get out of alignment. And God wants us set free so we can have unseparated fellowship with Him. But guys, listen, He wants strongholds broken off so you stop going all over the place. So you can learn to walk in synchronization with the Holy Spirit. Do you know how wonderful that is? And this isn't just for the students, it's for our leaders too. It's for me. Strongholds are so annoying because they like keep us from doing what we know in our heart we want to do. And therefore, we need to demolish them. So what is a stronghold? What is it really? So anyone who knows anything about me knows I'm going to study the word and the origin of the word in Greek and Hebrew before I teach it. So what I've done is I've studied this for you guys, and I'm going to give you what I found. All right? Strongholds are the following. Get your pens. Thank you for the water. Strongholds are speculations. Now, this is going to flip your lid. Speculations or imaginations. What? Wait, you mean to tell me that a stronghold of the enemy is a speculation in my mind? A reasoning? What in the world does this mean? Let's take a look. They are speculations and imaginations. Reasonings, thoughts, and imaginations. Listen. That precede and determine our conduct and our decisions. Holy moly, if you didn't listen, it's time to start. This is some scary stuff. And not whoa, scary. Like, oh my word, this stuff is powerful and can like wreck my life. And I'm sorry I get so passionate about this, but I'm telling you, this is vitally important for your Christian walk to get tonight. Because what the enemy does is he uses the creative brilliance of the mind God has given us and our emotions to throw us off course. How many of you were imaginative children? You guys remember that? Remember? So I have one child that's black and white, and I have one child that sees things in bushes, in clouds, in the carpet patterns that I didn't know existed. Carter's so creative and imaginative. And sometimes it frustrates Victoria because she just never got to experience the joy of an imagination. I'm like, that's okay. You'll probably be like senator one day, but you know, it's okay. But these imaginations, Carter one time got so into the imagination play that he spooked himself because it became real. And you are no different. The enemy strongholds begin to form with statements and lies of the enemy that then cause us to begin to speculate. What does the word speculate mean? Huh? Shoot, just shoot. What does it sound like? Guess? Assume? Doubt? Mistrust? I'm going to speculate that that's probably what they meant when they said that. And now we've got these speculations and these reasonings that become real and true. Everyone look at me. This is so important. These speculations and reasonings that happen time and time again, you begin to believe about you, about them, about the boss, about your spouse, about God. And you begin to believe them in such a way that they begin to set you on a certain course with your walk and your faith and how you behave and the decisions you make. This is powerful stuff tonight. Strongholds are collections of thoughts that are lies against what God has revealed about himself and about you. Come on. Is this soaking in tonight? So strongholds are collections of thoughts. It's not Satan's hand coming down on your nice little bald head. It's not tangible. So therefore, it's easy to discredit or not believe it. But Satan is real. His demons are real. They know mankind and our ways well. They've been around a while. And they know how to influence our thought lives in a way that causes our walk to go in the wrong direction. Strongholds are fortresses of thought. Now, here's the thing. There's a key question that we need to ask tonight. How many of my behaviors, past and present, I want everyone to listen to this. How many of my behaviors, actions, and decisions stem or originated from a stronghold? How many behaviors do I keep reacting this way, even though I don't want to, because of a stronghold? How many decisions did I make that came from wrong reasonings, speculations, imaginations that preceded? What does preceded mean? This is so, come on. It goes ahead of you. It precedes. These strongholds cause things to literally mess things up for us down the road. They precede our course of conduct. Let me ask you a few questions tonight. What have you declined or turned down or let go of due to a stronghold? Huh? Think of it right now. What job did you turn down? What unique opportunity did you avoid? What relationship did you give up? Why do you keep sabotaging friendships when deep inside, like, the main thing you want is community? And you even get annoyed when you see Christians at Timber Creek so close to one another, and it, like, almost annoys you. But for some reason, you can't seem to break free and get close to people. My friend, there's a stronghold that God wants to set you free from. What have you done as a result of a stronghold? Another way of saying it, how have I behaved? How have I just behaved? Now I know here in this room, nobody misbehaves at home. I know all of you go home and you're just like these perfect Christian people, right? How do you behave at work? How do you behave at home? How many Sundays have you said, this week's going to be different? And it's not. How many of you in your own heart, without showing a show of hands, when you're alone, you keep doing that thing you know you don't need to do? And no matter how much you've prayed over it, it's not changing. Can I just encourage you tonight? It's just a stronghold. Did you hear? It's just a stronghold. And the reason I can smile and say that is because Jesus already paid the price for that to be broken tonight. Did you hear me? Like, don't let that freak you out. Some of you are giving way too much energy and credit to the enemy and his power. It's just a stronghold. But it is a stronghold. And the Lord wants to break you free of that. What have you tolerated and excused because of a stronghold? You know that person. They're the doormat. The abused woman or man continues to go back into a very harmful situation over and over and over and over and over again. Might I suggest there could be a stronghold? What things have you said yes to that God never said yes to for you, but you can't say no to anyone because you feel like you got to please everyone? What things have you committed to do out of a desperate need to please others? What reactions do you have that stem from past experiences that have formed a stronghold? Yeah. Can I be real with you tonight? Will you guys, like, not hold it against me or go up to Pastor Alvin and say anything to him in the hallway? The ladies laughed. I had two men that did. No, for real, guys. You can't say anything. Now, he lived it, so he knows it. But just real quickly, my dad had an affair with my mom. It was my summer of my senior year, just graduated from high school. And my father had an affair. And basically, long story super duper short, became a drug addict, alcoholic. I can remember bailing my dad out of jail. Like, honest to God, a nightmare of my life for years. And then after that, my younger brother decided to join dad and began selling drugs and doing drugs. Soon after that, my older brother and I had some issues, and really didn't he didn't really want anything to do with me, it felt, and we didn't our relationship was broken. And I say all that to say that within just a matter of a few years, I lost my father and both brothers in a huge sense. And during those seasons, they said some really horrible things to me and about me. And I marry Alvin, who, bless his heart, has done nothing wrong. But because of the way my father left, and because of the abandonment issues I've had with that, and then my brothers, there is this lie the enemy told me that no man's really going to stay. No man can be faithful. You guys, I promise you, it's almost like yesterday. I can still remember the first time I heard that. That men are just always going to be that way. Sorry, guys. Isn't it like awkward that I'm saying this standing right in front of all of you? But that's just the way men are going to be. And therefore, you can never trust a man. A man's always going to hurt you and leave. And honest to God, I believed it with everything in me. And I would have never said it out loud because it sounds crazy. In fact, if I would have preached, I would have said that that's not true and that God's word says, but deep in here, I believed the lie, which set my life on a very wrong trajectory in my marriage. So poor Pastor Alvin got a craving for a blizzard after hanging out with the guys who are like pastors. And I think, where you been? You're 30 minutes late. Like, what the heck? That's not what we said. The poor guy has had nothing but one accusation after accusation after accusation in our marriage, because in my mind, I'm just waiting for the day when he messes up too and leaves. Now, that might not be your stronghold, and thankfully, God has healed me of that, and I'm not there anymore, but that doesn't mean the enemy doesn't try to creep back in. Where did it all start, though? Where did it all start? It started with a wound, didn't it? Started with a hurt. And it's like the enemy knew, he knew that I was hurt. So therefore, I'm vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You're vulnerable when you're hurt. You're desperate when you're hurt. You do things that you'd say you never would have done when you're deeply hurt and rejected and wounded. So the lies of the enemy that when you're healthy, you'd say, whatever. When you're hurt, you go, And that's what happened in my life. And so it's super important for all of us to understand in here tonight. In fact, I want to go ahead and show you this real quick. You guys go ahead and look two numbers down. Two numbers down. Let's go ahead and look at this little diagram. I'm going to show you how this works tonight as I finish up this segment. Because it's now that we know what they are, I want to show you how they behave, strongholds. Do you see how that behaved in my life? Are you guys with me? Did you see the pattern? Did you see the timeline of that, or kind of like the order that went? And you may not have my story, but you have your own. So keep yours in mind. Will you keep yours in mind as we go through this tonight? Let's look at this. Let's look at how these characteristics of strongholds, how do they behave? Number one, strongholds are habit structures of thought that exist in the area of our soul. What's the soul? Mind, will, emotions, personality. That's why you can get into alignment and be so easily pulled out if you have strongholds. Number two, strongholds are habitual lies. That what? What have we done with them? We have embraced them at the core of our innermost being. So maybe your lie wasn't that all men are have issues and are going to leave their wives eventually. Maybe yours says something like, this is just the way I'm always going to be. Maybe your stronghold has a different tagline, but they're equally as dysfunctional and harmful to our walk with Jesus. Let's look at this tonight. Look in your notes. You have the tale of two paths. I want to show you how this works tonight. Basically, all of us have these things called hard times, don't we? Do you know it doesn't matter which pastor or your favorite speaker? Oh, thank you. They've all had hard times. They've all had hard times. So hard times come and lies the enemy, you know, like I said a minute ago, hard times come and the enemy begins to speak to you during these hard times. Maybe you were molested as a kid and the enemy began to say that I'm not worth anything. There's something wrong with me. And maybe now as an adult you've said I'll never be able to enjoy healthy sexual relationships ever again with my spouse because of that. Or maybe you grew up with an addict as a father or a mother. And the lie that you have said is, I now have to protect myself for the rest of my life. I will never, you want to know an indicator of a stronghold? Words like this. I will never be like so-and-so. I will never do to them what they did to me. When I'm a wife, I'm going to do it this way instead of how mom did it. Bless God. There are these inner declarations that say, I will never let someone hurt me like that again. And what's crazy is the enemy has an amazing ability to speak to you in a way that sounds like yourself. I wish that he came and talked in a creepy voice and had sharp teeth and a pitchfork and poked me with it. Because then I would know that it was the enemy. But guys, he's way smarter than that. He not only knows, he knows how you talk. He knows how you process. He knows what works. He knows your Achilles heels. So he knows what to say and when to say it in a way that will get you to bite. So these hard times come and these lies begin to form. These lies and these thoughts begin to form. Now, this is what's really important. So we've got lies coming at all directions, don't we? As we're trying to walk down this path with the Lord, we're trying to just live lives of obedience to the Lord. But what happens is we come to this place. This place is very important because this is the point of decision. This is the point of decision. What happens right here, guys? What's so important? Why do you think this is so important? Thank you, Dawn. Yes. Because a choice has to be made. Say choice. Mm-hmm. It's a choice. Please listen to this. You have a choice whether to believe the lie and come into agreement with it, or to reject the lie and come out of agreement with it. Let's just say that you come out of agreement with the lie. You say no to the lie. No to the lie. And you go and you walk on the path of truth. What are the outcomes, do you think, in your life when you come out of agreement with the lie and walk in truth? Give me some words. What does that life feel like? Oh, my word. Are you joking? Yes, peace. Have you lived with a tormented mind? I have. I'll take peace over anything, any day. I'll take peace over a designer purse. I'll take peace. Like, I love me some peace. Peace right here. What else? Yes. Oh, my word. Joy. What else? Huh? Patience. What did you say? Freedom. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. You guys got it. Gentleness. How about some fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22 up in here, right? Okay. So that's what we want to have. But do you think because I wrote it on the dadgum board and circled it, that means that's easy? It's the hardest stinking thing you'll ever do is to go against how you feel and dig your heels down into God's word and say, but my God says... But my God says That is the hardest thing to do, but you must learn how to do it if you're going to take the enemy's wrong thoughts captive. You take them captive by saying no to the lie, and you get into the Word of God and pull out the truth, and you live by it, and no matter how you feel. Now, let's just say, instead of going against the lie, you come into agreement with the lie. What does it mean if I come into agreement with something? And why is that dangerous? Say it, you're joining it. Yeah, you're kind of like binding. Pastor Alvin and I, before we were pastors, we began to just dabble in some real estate. And after just a few years, we began to understand the power of a lease. Like the power of a written document where the two parties both sign it. Like Alvin was like writing it on napkins and crazy stuff like this. I was like, babe, we've got to get like a lease together, Michael. You know what I'm talking about. All right? So I got a lease together. The lease is a binding contract between two different parties. It's we're coming into agreement with one another that this is the way we're going to live and behave under these agreements and these conditions. When you get to the point of decision and you decide that God is really a bad dude and he really doesn't give a flip about you like everyone else who walked out, you begin to come into agreement with what? The lie. The lie. Talk to me, encounter, about that life. Oh, my word. Well, let me tell you, all you angels in here, let me tell you what it's like to come in agreement with a lie. It's miserable. Can I use an even more strong word? It's tormenting. It's torment. What other words would you describe? Hopelessness, hopeless, restless. Oh, yeah. Chaos. Hell on earth, I can say that. It's a place right now. Yes. But do you see that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean this doesn't happen? Hard times are going to happen, Jesus said. It's what we do with the lies and in the dark times that set our trajectory. Do you understand? Now hang on. If you don't know God's word, how in the world are you going to come into agreement with it? And this to me is one of the worst things I see in the church. As Christians know messages from someone they heard on a podcast, but they don't know the word of God for themselves. And I keep wanting to call you in starting point people, but you're not. Encounter. You've got to devour the word of God. And some of you, devouring means like 5 minutes a day. But devour it. Get this. If you don't hear anything else I've said tonight, get this in you, and that becomes much easier. Did you hear me? You cannot just, but oh my word, you just can't stop at faith. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:5, he said, add to your faith, Christians, add to it. Add to your faith goodness. Add to your faith some good knowledge. Add to your faith some perseverance. Add to your faith self-control. Add to your faith goodness, godliness, mutual affection, love. Come on, we've got, you want to know I'm passionate about this? Because I know if you get this tonight, you're going to get freedom. And then I know if you understand the concept and the way this works, even when the enemy comes back, because he will, he did it to Jesus, he came back, the word says, until a more opportune time, the enemy will come back, but even when you're about to fall, as long as you, like, do you hear me? I'm not saying that, like, we don't start on this path and we start to doubt, but you got to get out of that path today, guys. You got to come out of agreement with these lies, because this is how strongholds form. This is how strongholds form. This is how they become speculations and reasonings and imaginations. And before you know it, you're accusing your spouse of having an affair and he just got a blizzard. Imaginations that precede the way you behave. I've seen people finish encounter and go to the retreat and get in alignment and all filled with God's Spirit, but they didn't give God full access to the stronghold and they were unable to continue to walk it out. Now, thankfully, that statistic is very low. But I've seen pastors go wrong in the church because of this right here and this right here. So do you understand when Paul says that we are to demolish strongholds? Do you see now why he was so aggressive in his tone? Because of the power they have to destroy our lives. I gotta finish. Number three, strongholds exalt themselves above the knowledge of God and give demonic forces a secure place to influence our mind, will, emotions, and personality. So the demonic doesn't have rights, listen, unless you give it to him. I know you're filling in blanks. Can I say that again? The demonic junk has no right because you're under the blood of Jesus unless you give it to him. How do I, well, Pastor Talia, what do you mean? How do I give it to him? You come into agreement with his lie. That's how you do it. Okay? Number four. Number four, five, and six, I'm hitting together in one group because they tie together perfectly and they scare me to death. Strongholds are wrong motivations and attitudes that then protect and defend a person's walk in the flesh. This one is tough because it's hard for the person now to even see and understand what is truly motivating their habits and behaviors. It is now normal for them to behave this way and highly protected. You ever talk to one of them? They're good unless you go there. I knew a guy that was serving the Lord. He'd been set free from drugs. It was a powerful, powerful transformation. And he would do great unless you disagreed with him. And it was like, if you disagreed, not even like in a mean, if you just didn't see it his way, a monster came out. Just cut you off completely. Maybe that's you in here tonight. That's a stronghold that needs dealt with. See, anger often protects hurt. Super angry people are usually super hurt people. But they never admit it because it's that stronghold is so normal now, and they have built this incredible, like, cement block cinder wall around it with, like, the wire on top and machine guns on top. If anyone dare comes near that area, you will be toast. And if you have something like that coming to your mind right now, I challenge you to pray about that this week. Number five, strongholds then can lie so deep within our souls that we don't recognize or identify those motives or behaviors anymore as sin. Instead, we take on attitudes toward these motives and behaviors that say, that's just the way I was raised. That's just my personality. That's just who I am. That's just the way I was raised. That's just my culture, my family background. And when we begin to shoot down any source of truth that takes away from the protective barrier we've built around it. Isn't it crazy how when God is speaking to you, stuff is coming to some of your minds even right now? Number six, And here's the scary part I was referring to. If this goes on long enough, it begins to calcify in the soul. And then strongholds then can keep a person from experiencing true repentance and ultimately changing. You say, well, Talia, why is that so scary? Because if you can't see it, that means you can't repent of it. And if you can't repent of it, you can't get free from it. And if you can't get free from it, then you walk around in bondage and torment. And that's not what Jesus died for. He came to set us free. Number 7, strongholds have a sick, infectious core or center, like a boil on a person's body. From this infectious core, they can send forth twisted thoughts and emotions throughout the soul. Have you ever had a boil or like a sore or like a wound that's been just stitched back up and somebody's bumped into it? I remember when Pastor Jonathan's little boy Levi had just severed off the top of his thumb and they sewed it back on. Like, they were so, and rightfully so, cautious and protective of anyone and anything that would get near that thumb, because they knew that the time was very important for it to adhere and heal. And if some little boy threw a truck at him and he hit it, not to be gross, but the thumb could come detached again and fall off. So they constantly were having to be careful. And people with strongholds can tend to be that way. They're super cautious. They're super protective. They're super suspicious about ever opening up or letting anyone near that part of their lives. Number 8, strongholds often have the culprits behind negativity, negative thought patterns, and bad habits in our lives. Let's look at this. This is so good. I love this. This makes so much sense. Let's look at strongholds as habits as I finish. Strongholds are often the guilty culprits behind many of our habits. What habits do you have tonight? And I'm not talking about smoking and drinking. Let's think beyond that encounter. Maybe you're a wife and you have a horrible habit at disrespecting your husband in front of other people. And it's ungodly and it's a bad witness as a woman of God. Or maybe you have a bad habit of some other sort. Strongholds are often the guilty party behind the habit. What is a habit? A habit is an act repeated so often that it becomes involuntary. There is no decision of mind each time the act is performed. Habits are powerful. Stephen Covey says this: habits are powerful factors in our lives. Our character is basically composed of our habits. As the maxim goes, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Now, this is good and bad news. This can be used for bad, or this can be used for good. Good habits. So God, tonight, I don't know about you, I can feel him doing a deep work in this room tonight. God has the ability to change our hearts, but we must surrender tonight and begin to crucify our habits. Can you do me a favor as I finish? Can you just, as we go and we get our snacks, every semester, we all know what this feels like right now. We've already gone through all this. And guess what? We're going through it right now too, I can promise you, as leaders. Let's just be sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit. Can you get your snacks? And who's our host? I think we have a host coming. Whitney, go ahead and come. As we get our snacks tonight, can we not disrupt the work of the Holy Spirit in here tonight. Can we get them and come back, hey, even more surrendered for what God has next? Father, I just pray right now over this group. We're not done. You're not done tonight. But God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, who is the most gentle teacher of all, would just continue to lead us and guide us into all truth tonight. And Father, my greatest prayer, may we all tonight come to know the truth, and the truth set us free. I just want to just prophetically just speak over you, freedom. It doesn't matter what you're wrestling with right now, what thoughts are raging in your mind. Some of you may even feel very angry right now. I'm speaking freedom over you in Jesus' name. I declare freedom over this room tonight. I declare a finished work in the authority of Jesus' name. And if you want that for yourself tonight, agree with me. And everyone said, amen. Whitney.
All right, guys, we're going to take about job teaching us what strongholds were. Now, Sonia's going to come up and talk about the foundations of strongholds.
All right. So I have the privilege to talk about the foundations of strongholds. So how many of you had a mother or a father that said to do something, and when you asked why, they said, because I said so? How many of us love that? How many of us became that parent that has told our children, do this because I said so? Yeah. So what I have found is that is a little irritating to me when someone tells me to do something and they don't give me an explanation. So as I talk to you about foundations of strongholds, and as Pastor Talia talked about strongholds, we're not only going to give you the instruction, but we're going to give you the big picture. The reason we're giving you the big picture, and I'm going to continue to talk about strongholds, is because if you don't get the big picture, you will not understand the significance of it. When I was a director of nursing at a long-term care facility, we instructed our nurse aides to go and turn those patients every 2 hours, get them off of that side, and turn them on the other side. And what I found, if they didn't really understand why, then they weren't as prone to want to do it. And so when we instructed them that the reason you go and do what we're telling you to do is because it prevents pressure ulcers, big sores, which can eventually lead to death, it clicked with them. And they realized the why behind the what. So I'm going to continue to give you the why behind the what on strongholds. And as I talk about foundations of strongholds, we need to understand a foundation is the very beginning. That is the underlying basis. So I'm talking to you about where did the strongholds come from. And that's critical to understand where these strongholds came from. I was not raised in the church. I think I shared that previously. I wasn't raised in the church. And even if you were raised in the church, there are strongholds that can be created, and you really don't understand what they are and where they come from. But I've learned I need to understand where they come from so I can learn how to handle them effectively, which is give them to Jesus, and we're going to talk about that soon. So number one, foundations of strongholds, they come from our parents, our grandparents, and our loved ones. They're passed down from our parents, our grandparents, or our loved ones. Some strongholds come from those that are closest to us, that really do love us, and most of the time they really do have good intentions, but they can be passed down from those that are closest to us. How do they do that? They can do that by what we're taught. Write that down. By what we're taught. And what that looked like in my life personally is I was taught by my mother, who I love dearly, but she taught me that you can stay married until it becomes inconvenient,
or it becomes hard work, and then you can get a divorce. It's okay. But you can stay married until it becomes tough. Can I tell you, marriage is tough. I don't know a marriage that is easy. But see, I learned from a young age that I can stay in a marriage until it becomes tough or until it becomes inconvenient. That right there created a stronghold in my life. But listen, the way that strongholds are created is it's when I accept the lie. I can see a lot of things. I can see divorce, but that doesn't mean that I have to accept that for my life and accept that lie. So you need to understand that principle that a stronghold doesn't really take anchor until I accept it and I come into agreement with that lie. And as a young child, I came into agreement with that. I accepted that to be truth by what I was taught by my family. And then it's also passed down by what they said was true that may not have been biblical. What they said was true but may not have been biblical. So what could that look like? That could look like Stacy is married to Keith. And anybody that knows Keith knows he's a super good guy. So I'm going to use him as an example because this is not real life for them, but this is a good example. So Stacy's married to Keith, and she starts telling me about some things about him. And then I observe some things, and I observe that Keith has a really challenging personality, and he's just a stinker to deal with. And so I tell Stacy, because I love her, we're family, and I say, you know what? Your husband is a stinking jerk. You do not deserve that. I would kick that brother to the curb in a heartbeat. He may be a jerk, and she doesn't deserve that, but the Word of God does not say I can kick my husband to the curb if his personality is challenging. Amen? It may be true what your family is saying, but if it's not biblical, you need to be very careful to not accept that, because when you accept that lie, it can create a stronghold in your life. They're also passed down by what we have watched or what we have observed. By what we've watched or what we have observed. If you had a parent, if you had a mother, that when things didn't go her way, she lost her mind and she screamed and she threw things and she cussed. Or if you had a dad that did that, and then you are the same person that does that. Things don't go your way and you cuss and you scream and you fight and you're ready to just lose your mind. And you say, what Talia said a while ago, that's just the way I was raised. Listen, that is a stronghold. If you have accepted that, can I tell you, that is something that you don't have to accept and hang on to. Just because you saw it like that doesn't mean that's the way it has to continue. And we're going to talk a lot next week about how to break those strongholds. But that is one way that a stronghold is created. I watched it. I accepted it. I agreed with it. And I let it anchor into my heart. I may not audibly watch my parents yell at each other or them fight and say, yes, I'm in agreement with that. But if it continued to pierce your heart and you didn't reject that as a lie because it doesn't line up with God, it can create a stronghold in your life. And as I talk about some of these things, I'm hoping that you're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you to see, are there strongholds in my life? And I can probably say, yes, they are. Because if we're still breathing and haven't allowed God to really break these off of us, then the Holy Spirit will speak to you tonight and show you some areas that the enemy has created strongholds. But thankfully, we're going to teach you how to break those. Number two, strongholds can be built within us from deep hurts or wounds that we have received. They can be built within us from deep hurts or wounds that we have received. I can tell you, as I was praying over this teaching, the Lord was showing me there's a lot of hurts and there's a lot of wounds in this room. And there's as many men that have come today with hurts and wounds as there are women. And that is an opportunity for a stronghold to be created. I will say, just because you have been wounded does not mean that there's a stronghold there. There are some wounds that we have walked through that have not been a stronghold, but some of you tonight have been so hurt and so wounded, and it has taken root in your heart because you've believed that lie. And this is what it looked like in my life. I was abused by a man from a young age. And I said, I will never, ever be hurt by a man again. I said that from a young age, and I didn't realize what I was doing when I said that, but I created a stronghold. And I'll show you guys at the end kind of how that worked, but that created some challenges for me in a marriage. Amen. Those wounds and those hurts can open up the door for an enemy to completely create such tough things in our life. And if we don't recognize it and know who to give it to, which is Jesus, it can create such challenges in our life, challenges in our relationship, challenges in our mind. And so we have to pray for God to open our eyes and help us to understand how these wounds were created so that we can work through them with Jesus. Proverbs 17, 22, it says, a broken spirit dries up bones. I don't know about you, but I think dry bones means death. A broken spirit dries up the bones. It means death. Proverbs 18, 14 says, a broken spirit, who can bear? Number three, strongholds can be built within us by a misrepresentation of love. How we perceive love or rejection. If I have a misrepresentation of what love is, that can create a stronghold in my life. For example, if I perceive love based on performance, if you don't perform the way I think you should, then I think that you're rejecting me. Does that make sense? I may not show love the way that you think, but if your understanding is wrong and I'm not performing the way you think, you automatically think I'm rejecting you, but I'm not rejecting you at all. But it is that wrong thought in your mind. What is strongholds? It's thoughts. It's imaginations that determine our conduct. It precedes our conduct. Another way that I felt like this was real pertinent is if you have watched pornography and you've become addicted to pornography, and you think that that is the way that your spouse is supposed to perform, which equates to love, here's news for you. When you get married, your spouse ain't gonna perform like that. And so you think that your spouse doesn't love you, but that is a stronghold. That is a speculation. That is an imagination. That is not true. But you take that, and it takes root, and it creates a stronghold. So when I misinterpret, when I don't understand love the way that God says love is, it can create a stronghold in our life. Number four, strongholds can be built within us by judgments or the inner vows we make towards others, ourselves, and God. By judgments or inner vows. We need to be careful how we judge people from wounds or disappointments in our lives. We need to be real careful. There was a time in my life where I had somebody that was really close to me, and we were serving God, and we were chasing after God with all our hearts. And then she came to me, and she shared something really personal about how she had really fallen and stumbled in sin. And I was kind of a young Christian, and man, I was so harsh, and I was so critical in the way I responded to her. I was so judgy in the way I came back to her. And she needed my grace, she needed my mercy, she needed my comfort, and she needed my prayer. But I was so quick to judge because I couldn't understand how she had fallen, because we were both chasing after God together. And can I tell you, there is a principle of reaping and sowing that we need to be real careful with. About a year later, opportunity presented itself, guess who stumbled and fell? Just like that person that I love so much, but I was so critical and so harsh. Why was I critical and harsh? Because I was wounded. I was hurt because I felt like, man, we were doing this. You know, we were doing this. But I was so critical of her. But the principle of reaping and sowing is real in your life. Please be so gentle with other people. When they open up to you, when they share a struggle, I beg you to love them more than you have ever loved anybody else. I'm not saying excuse poor behavior, but I'm saying extend the grace that God continues to extend to us because others are so desperate to receive love and grace and mercy the way that He continues to pour that out in our lives. Inner vows. We need to be real careful of those inner vows, which I talked about a while ago. I made that statement and I dug in and I spoke it, I thought it, I spoke it, and I said, I will never, ever, ever be controlled by a man, which all the independent ladies said, yeah, girl, amen, right? Y'all don't sit quiet. I know you. I am you. But that was such a, I heard my husband saying something back there. But can I tell you, that was a dangerous vow that I made because my perception was often skewed. And when I thought my spouse was about to hurt me, not hurting me, but was about to hurt me, what do you think I did? I did the stiff arm. I did the football move. And I was ready to run because of an inner vow that I made as a young person being injured. That man back there didn't hurt me because of an inner vow that I made from somebody else that hurt me years ago, and I took that and I allow it to take anchor. I immediately said, no, I will not let a man hurt me. Be careful of the vows that you make unless they line up with God. Number five, they can be built within us through the words that people speak over us, through the words that people speak over us. You've heard that statement, sticks and stones may break my bones. How's it go? That's the biggest fat lie I've ever heard in my life. Can I tell you, I've broken my foot before and it healed back, but there are some words that have been spoken over me that can still pierce my heart if I allow the enemy to continue to speak them over my life. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, your words are powerful, but the words that have been spoken over you may be an area that created a stronghold. My husband and I were foster parents for about 5 years, and we predominantly took smaller kids. And can I tell you, it did not matter how many times we looked at those babies in the eyes and loved on them and told them they were valuable and we told them they were smart and God has a purpose for you and God loves you. You're going to do great things in life. The words that have been spoken over them over and over again, that they're stupid, they're worthless, they're not going to do anything in their lives. They spoke so loud, they created strongholds. Words that have been spoken over you may be an area of a stronghold that we need to give to Jesus. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. I like the Message version. It's simple. It says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, but you choose. Can I tell you, your words are powerful. When you are speaking over someone else, when you are speaking to yourself, you're speaking life or death. How many times do we, I don't know if guys struggle with this, how many times do we look in the mirror and go, ugh, cover that up, girl. Oh, my gosh. No. Change your words. Words are, speak life over yourself. Speak truth over yourself. Listen, God didn't make any mistakes. It doesn't mean I can't improve, But we need to speak life over ourselves. Be careful what you speak over yourself. But listen, just because someone spoke it to me a long time ago, just because someone spoke it to you a long time ago, does not mean you need to continue to accept it. But you need to understand the power of words. God spoke and there was life. There is power in words. Number six, strongholds can be built within us through false doctrines or false teachings. Mark chapter 7 says, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines through precepts of men." That means they're teaching man-made ideas. They're neglecting the commandments of God. You hold to the traditions of man. Paul says in Colossians 2:8, "See to it that no one takes captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of man, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." Be careful what you listen to. Pastor Talia mentioned it a while ago. Just because you hear it on a podcast, that's good, but make sure it lines up with the Word of God before you accept it into your heart. Amen. You need to know the Word of God so you know the difference between the truth and a lie. And can I tell you, if you're listening to someone speaking into your ear, whether it's a physical person or whether it's the enemy speaking something into your ear, if it does not line up with the Word of God, it is a lie. Do not accept it. Do not embrace that. Push it right back out. Number seven, strongholds can be built within us through our ethnic or cultural backgrounds. Through our ethnic or cultural backgrounds. Romans 8, verse 6 and 7 says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God." But if you continue reading on, it says, "But letting your spirit control your mind leads to life and peace." That means letting the Holy Spirit control your mind. That leads you to life and peace. But some strongholds are set on the flesh, the ethnic or cultural backgrounds. My girls and I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Zambia, Africa, for 3 weeks. And I learned firsthand what this meant, talking about strongholds that can be created by your backgrounds or your ethnic belief. In Zambia, the men, the husbands are taught, if you love your wife, you will beat your wife. I better not get an amen from a man in here. They were literally taught that if you love your wife, you will physically discipline your wife. Now, to our minds, that makes absolutely no sense. But can I tell you, every African in Zambia that was raised there thought, with everything that's in them, that that was the truth, and they grew up doing that. So when you get these American Christian missionaries over there that are loving them and not condemning them, but just presenting the truth, and some of those Africans are saying, "Why don't you beat your wife?" And so they took them to the scripture and allow God to do the work in their heart. But I ask you, are there any things in your past, your background, the way you were raised, that doesn't line up with the Word of God? Because if it is, that can create a stronghold in your life. So today's teaching is all about the understanding of strongholds. Like Pastor Talia said, some of you thought that they were taught that they're not real. Some of you taught they're everywhere. We're here to teach you truth, the truth of God. And so tonight, as we talked about what they are, what they look like in your life, and where they came from, we're not going to stop and leave you right there, because that's kind of a depressing thought sometimes. You talked about strongholds the whole time. Pastor Talia talked about it. There's freedom from strongholds. There's an opportunity to break those strongholds off of your life. And next week's teaching is all about demolishing strongholds, amen, because we serve a risen Savior that says you don't have to walk in those strongholds, regardless of how you were raised, of how you've operated, or how you've come in today. God says you have the ability to break those off. Earlier this week, when I was spending time with the Lord, studying and asking God, show me what you want me to share with him. Any examples, any stories? And listen to me, I never said this to any other encounter class that we went through, but I am telling you, as alive as I am right now, God spoke into my spirit, tell them that dead things will be brought back to life. Starting tonight, dead things will be brought back to life. And he took me to the story of Lazarus. And we know the story of Lazarus. It's an exciting story. It's an awesome story. But I asked God again, Lord, what do you want me to show them out of the story of Lazarus? And it's in John chapter 11. And the story of Lazarus was, he was sick. And so his sisters, Martha and Mary, sent message, starting in verse 3, sent message to Jesus, and it said, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But Jesus heard this, and he said, the sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, and so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Lazarus, who Jesus loved, was sick. And when he found out about it, he said, okay, I hear you. But I'm going to stay here for a couple of more days before I go back. Lazarus dies, and here's the spoiler alert, Jesus brought him back to life. This is what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you tonight. Those 2 days, Jesus had business that he was taking care of. He loved Lazarus. He was concerned about his death. He was grieved. The Bible says that he cried when he got there. He knew that he was dead. He was grieved by his death, but he had 2 days where he was still doing business. And God said, tonight we're going to do some business because there's some dead things that God wants to bring back to life. In this group tonight, in your heart tonight, God wants to bring some dead things back to life. But here's my question for you. What is it that he needs to bring back to life for you personally? Does he need to bring joy back to your life? Because there's some of you that have not walked in joy in a long time. You think getting drunk or getting high is joy. And God said, that's not the high I got for you. That's not real joy. Let me show you what real joy is. But I've got to bring dead things back to life. Is it your hope? Is it your hope that he needs to bring back to life that's been dead for so long because of the wounds and the hurts that you've been hanging on to, that you've buried on, you've anchored it so deep down that you don't even have the hope anymore? You're coming. Praise the Lord. I'm here. I'm raising my hands during worship, but literally I have no hope. God said, I can bring that hope back to life. Is it the peace that you do not have in your home, that you do not have in your mind, that you don't have in your heart? Because God said, I can bring that dead thing back to life, but I've got to do some work first. He stayed 2 days where he was before he went and brought Lazarus back from the dead. Can we do some work tonight? Can you trust the process of Jesus to bring dead things back to life? Because this walk in our Christian life, it's a journey, but it's all about Jesus. He needs us to participate. He needs us to trust him in the process. Amen. We're going to do some work right now. We're going to trust that Jesus is going to do the work, and we're going to participate. We're going to partner with him in that. As you turn to Appendix 5, or Appendix D, page 47 in your book, we're going to do an exercise. And I felt so strongly that Jesus said, trust me in this process. Just like he told the sisters, I'm going to stay here for a couple of days because I need to do some business. I feel like the Lord is going to do some business and he's going to continue on next week. But right now, we're going to work on this exercise. This is an exercise to identify strongholds in our life. This is part of the process. This is part of the 2 days that I feel like Jesus was talking about that he had to do. He had some business to attend to. And so that first column says wounds. And so before we start, we're going to ask God to show us any wounds in our life that he has not healed. Listen, we're not trying to dig up things that God has already healed. If God has completely healed you of a wound, and he will, he's so capable, but if you have not really given it to God, we're going to ask God, show me any wounds that I have held on to that I have not allowed you to completely heal. And you're going to write that wound down. We're not going to look around at anybody else's papers. And then secondly, the section of strongholds. We're going to ask God to show us, are there any strongholds that have formed in my life because of that wound or that hurt or that trauma that I went through? Show me the strongholds. And then the last column is habits and behaviors. We need to identify the consistent behaviors and habits that have formed in our lives because of these strongholds. Can I tell you, this exercise for me personally, for my husband, changed everything. It changed everything. I knew that I had a wound. And because I've got a strong personality, I said it made me stronger. It made me the woman I am. But can I tell you, there was such a stronghold that was hurting my family. It was teaching my children. And it was damaging my marriage. And until I did this exercise 2 years ago, I didn't even realize it was there. As you close your eyes, and as the music comes softly, I'm going to pray over you, but I want you to pray as well. And let's take this to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you. I thank you that you are such a good God. Oh, Father, I thank you that you are a healer, that you are a restorer. But God, as Jesus continued to do business for 2 days before he brought Lazarus back to life, there was work to be done. And God, we open our hearts to you and ask that you do a work in our heart. Holy Spirit, we ask you to reveal any wounds that we have not allowed you to heal in our heart. Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us to see any strongholds that are in our life that has taken root and anchored because of that wound. And God, shine light on any habits or behaviors that are a result of this. God, that you plan to completely heal. In the name of Jesus, we lift it up to you, open hearts and open minds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.